gives the straight talk. Dropping a bomb in a devil's chest. Woo! And a happy, happy Jesus to all listeners out there in Radio Land. Thank and praise God. You just called in and all you that's alive today. Amen. What a great day to be alive. Amen. Think about it. Wow. Corn, potatoes. Amen. Watermelons. Oh, my goodness. Just can't wait. I love life. I love enjoy life. And I want to share, amen, life with you. People say, life is so hard. Life is, man, you know, you're going to experience this as life. No. See, you don't have to. Some things you can avoid and some things you can't avoid. And that's why Paul said, if possible, you know, live peacefully with all men. But some people just ain't going to let you do that. And he said that in the 5th chapter of Thessalonians, he said, hey, brethren, pray for us, you know, that we be delivered from, amen, unreasonable men, for all men have not faith. And so that's why I be wanting people to pray for me about, because a lot of folks don't have no faith. They want to kill you. And like a lot of people out here don't understand that the reason why they're having problems they're having right now is because, amen, they don't know God. And Jesus said these words, but yeah, still, let me see, make sure that I quote that scripture right. Amen. Because see, Paul asked for prayer. That's what he said. In verse 1, in the 3rd chapter of 2 Thessalonians, verse 1. The 3rd chapter of Thessalonians, verse 1. I knew I was right, never I said 5th, but the 3rd chapter in verse 1, what is it?
Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith.
Now you see that? And I pray like this because a lot of people don't get it. Say, what's the purpose of praying? God gonna do what he wanna do. Why do we pray? Mm. I mean, a lot of folks don't understand that. What get me is this. You know how people get in your counsel and your presence, I say, Yes, I know. I understand. And around about 5 minutes later, they ask you the same question now that you just gave them the answer to. And mm-hmm. then you look to somebody and say, why did that person do this? They want to be sure. Be sure? You done stood here for around about hours to get an understanding. And you go, I can imagine y'all in the board meeting right now. And then, amen, say you're working for Microsoft or Microtel. And you're working for that company. And then y'all just got any questions? Amen. Any questions? And everybody said, no. Amen. Praise God. You say, well, let's get out there and go to work. And then somebody stopped and turned back around and asked the CEO, said, okay, now what was I supposed to do? You told me to do this. Now, he said, go right down and stop with Sister G down there, and she's going to give you your part of your severance pay and your pink slip because you're dismissed. I get fired for asking questions? I get fired for that? No, see, by asking questions, and you know it. You know better than that. Now, how can somebody, the crux of it, I don't get this. How do they get out of when Jesus was saying, amen, that beware of the leaven of the Pharisees? For, amen, praise God, they say one thing and do another one. And then other people look at one and say that he's upset at us because we didn't bring no bread. And then Jesus put them right back into the context of saying, look, y'all remember when I took 7 fish and fed the 4,000? You remember when I took the 5 loaves, amen, and fed the 5,000? Mm-hmm. And he said, then why is it that you ask me about bread? And see, that's the whole thing. Out of all that teaching in school they got, they still missed the point that Jesus was saying. Many people miss the point every day, and they just take the scripture out of context. Like God said, pluck your eye out your head. Cut your leg off. You know what I'm saying? Cut your hand off. And that's all you take away from that. You know better than that. You know, it's a sin against mutilating your body and everything. You're not supposed to tattoo or pierce your body. But yet, still, that's what people do. Now, when you take away from school, your teacher give you a test. Every about every week after whatever the subject was, You got a math test if it's dealing with math. You got a spelling test if it's dealing with spelling. You got a history test if it's dealing with history. You got a biology test if you're dealing with biology. You got a science test if it's dealing with scientists or science. So you know, understand it. So this course of this week right now, which the last day is tomorrow, before you start your weekend, and then you somebody say, well, you know, the Sabbath day is on Sunday. Okay, fine. I mean Saturday. Good, fine. Some of you say the Sabbath day is on a Sunday. Okay, good, fine. Whatever day you want to call the Sabbath day, that's your day. Fine, call it. But that's not the point. What was the purpose even of Jesus giving the Sabbath day? See, the purpose, if you read the Word of God, Jesus set up. I mean, he fully established the purpose of the law, showing everybody you can't live it. But he lived it. And showing everybody the definition of what exactly what God was saying when he said, honor your mother and father. Why do you see Paul saying that again in the 6th chapter of Ephesians, where Paul said, honor your mother and father that your days shall be long upon the earth. This is the first commandment with promise. That's not the first commandment. That's the commandment to man. The first commandment, amen, praise God, hear Israel, but one God, you shall love the Lord thy God, all thy heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. Then it goes on, said, thou shalt have no other God before me. So all these things that God created for you. I mean, you say, what you think God going to do with tithes and offerings? That's why he said, I'll have meat in my house. Where's God's house at? So all that being said, that's why you got to study, as Paul told Timothy 2 and 15, study to show yourself approved unto God, for a workman need not be ashamed. Man, I understand why when Jesus said in the 22nd chapter of St. Luke, do I ever understand this? Out of all the 42 years of ministry, I understood this, amen, praise God, on the 27th day, amen, of May. And on that Saturday day, I mean, if there's ever been a time that I really, it dawned on me so deeply, when Jesus said that let him that has no sword sell his garment, amen, and buy one. And then he said, look, Lord, here's a sword. And Jesus said, it is enough. And then I heard a preacher preach that message talking about it is enough. Talking about, oh, that's good enough. That sword good enough. No, it's not. That's that same sword that Peter and them showed Jesus, that Peter pulled out and cut the man's ear off, and Jesus told him to put up the sword. Mm-hmm. Now, what the world is Jesus talking about telling somebody to go and sell your garment and buy a sword? And then Peter and them take the sword and cut a man's ear off trying to protect his leader, which was Jesus. And then Jesus go and said, he that live by the sword shall perish by the sword. Put it up. Mm-hmm. Make up your mind, Jesus. You told us to go sell our garment and buy a sword. Now I got a sword. And I'm supposed to sit here and let the people come and just take you? Nothing doing. Now that poor man got confused. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He's got confused. Years ago when I used to bust tables and wash dishes, worked at a restaurant, a guy came up to me. And I wanted to bust his lip for telling me. He said, whatever you do, he said, make sure you keep your hands moving like you're doing something. Even if you ain't got nothing, just don't stand up. Don't stand up. And I look at him, getting ready to say, I forget ready to bless him out. But then it just dawned on me, say, he's telling me the truth because I got to find something to do. I cannot sit here idle on this job. Are they going to find something for me to do? And I mean, that's the way it is, people. That's the way life is. Now, I started off talking about life and how people tell me how hard it is. The first thing you need to understand about life is what is life. When somebody says, I'm going to get me a life. I'll get a life, man. Well, what is life? What is it? It's really another word for animation. That was just animate. And those dang Adam. Adam was what you call inanimate. And then he became adamant. And that word simply means, amen, animation, moving. He became a living soul when God breathed into his nostrils. Now, you can draw pictures all you want to, but what happens when you start drawing all these pictures, about 100 of them, and then you start moving them real fast? After a while, you create animation. You're giving life to it. See, you give life to everything in your life, and you don't even know it. I'm serious. You think Jesus was just talking when he said, if these children hold their peace, the rocks would cry out? You think he was just talking? You think that he was talking when John the Baptist said God is able to turn these stones to Jews? Huh? Well, your body came out the dirt. You ever heard of kidney stones? Well, it came out the dirt. So all this, it makes so sense. So much sense. I stopped saying this word years ago. Girl, you might think money grow on trees. And then the Holy Ghost said to me, said, well, do it. And I said, I lift my fingers up. I said, let me get back with you on this one. So what you do, Dr. Street? I went up the stairs, got on my knees and started talking to God. I said, Lord, no, I appreciate you, but tell me this. But you caught me at the right time, which was the wrong time, I'm saying. And God said, think about it. Now, I like to think about it. Okay, that three words. Think about it. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Triune. Okay, so I got to thought about it. I thought about what God was saying. He said, okay, where do you get paper from? Which I didn't know no better. Get it from wood. The pulp of trees. What they do, they grind it up and swell it up and puff it up. Flatten it up with a little other glue and stuff like that. And then they make paper. I'm serious. They make paper. Then as they start making paper with it, they take the leaves and different other things and they make ink. And then, amen, with the iron that comes out the ground, they make a press, iron. And they press, amen, images on this paper thing that we call money. And then they use this. They use this for currency. Amen. Legal tender. And they put the stuff together. And I said, wow. Just like that. And so God said, okay, now, if I let you run this earth, shouldn't I get 10% out of it? I mean, look, the trees, I planted it. I grew these trees. Should I get my cut out of it? Because you're using my trees, you're using my iron, you're using my ink, you're using everything that I created. Don't I get a cut? And from then on, end of discussion, end of conversation, I never had the discrepancy about paying tithes or offerings. I never had, never will. And I understand what God's doing, because this is what God wants to do about being selfish. Didn't God reveal to me about the Sabbath day? Let me understand what Sabbath day. And I can promise you this. Everybody that works what you call on Sunday will pick up a coveted spirit. Or work on that Saturday. Seventh-day Adventist. They're going to pick up a spirit, because there's nobody that was anointed of God, called by God to work 7 days a week. The only people that would work those many days for their off time was the priest. That they were sacrificed still at the temple, because it's a continual thing of sacrificing. Other than that, that was it. But they was eating good and resting good and dressing good and smelling good and doing good. But when it comes down to everybody like an animal, you're not supposed to work an animal on 7 days. And not only are you not supposed to work an animal 7 days, when you do put that horse or that mule or that donkey up, you're supposed to brush him down so he can relax them muscles. Man, I how often say, give me a massage. You look at me and say, what? Look at me like I'm crazy. And all the hard work that you do. So people, all that being said, God said 4:6 of Hosea, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. You made life hard. God did not. When I say pray for us, that we may be delivered, that the word of God may have free course like it is right now, and that we be not hindered, that many people out there can hear the word of God and be blessed of this word, because they're going to start seeing it in a way that they have never seen it or heard it before, and then they're going to receive this thing and they're going to grow. They're going to be healed by the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Mm-hmm. And they're never going to be the same. This is why I want to tell you about life. Amen. Glory to God. In him was life. Let me look at St. John, the first chapter real quick, and then I'm getting ready to talk about, amen, when to break the law. In the first chapter of St. John, amen. If you look at that, read that real quick, Dora.
In the beginning was the Word, amen. And the Word was with God, amen. And the Word was God. Amen. The same was in the beginning with God.
Yes, it was.
All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made.
What was in him?
In him was life.
No, it was not.
Yes.
In him was what?
Life.
A lightning bug.
Life.
Life.
Yes.
Oh, what life is. And it was life. Some of you can say light, but it was life. It was life. And what?
And the life was the light of men.
See, the life was what God gave to man. in the Garden of Eden. Mm-hmm. Now, this man get life. And remember, the word quicken means to make alive or give life. In the 15th chapter we read of the book of book of Corinthians, the Bible says that Adam was a living soul, but Jesus Christ was a quickening spirit, mm-hmm. a life-giving spirit. Why do you think everybody he touched gave life to him? Why do you think that when he touched people, they didn't die? They was healed. See? He gave life to them. Now I get around some of y'all and start laughing and rejoicing. Some of you start thinking, man, that man's goofy and silly. Okay, try me one time. Try me one time. Mm-hmm. You see, that's the reason why, and I asked a person about a question like that. I said, what did you mean by it? And that, on that day, they gave the exact answer what they meant exactly. I said, you sure you understand what I'm saying? Well, I looked the tree in the eyes, and they knew exactly what they was doing. It wasn't no child talking. It's a grown person talking. They knew exactly what they were saying, exactly what they was doing. And see, that's why I tell you, a lot of you people out there right now are taking back your testimony. You sat there and said, you know you're saved. You know that God is keeping you and God's there for you. And the moment pressure comes your way and you get offended by the word of God, and the first thing you start saying, I moved too fast. I should never said that. I should never joined this church. That's where you're wrong right there, by joining the church. You can't join no church. See what I'm saying? And so you got to be born again. God said, as many, amen, that was saved, it was joined. The Bible said it was born. God added daily to the church, as such should be saved. So we got so many people that when you got married, you've been married 17 years, and now all of a sudden you don't want to be married no more because, oh man, if I knew marriage was going to be this hard. People, please. All these long lectures that people say to enter into marriage, don't go in ill-advised. Who can be prepared for marriage according to the world system? Your marriage already on the rocks when you say, I'm going to divorce. If we get a divorce, you take the dog, I take the cat. You take one child, I take the other child. Come on, man. That stuff don't work. You confuse the child, confused, and everything is confused in your entire life. It won't work that way. When people start saying her car, her house, his house, you ain't married. You're divided. But you're trying to make God understand. No, yeah, God understand this, that you're a twit. Something wrong with you. And we got all this stuff going on. And so everybody get here and say, we got to listen to sound reasoning. People, you cannot make that work. That's like trying to make two wrongs make a right and make two left shoes, amen, for a person, amen, that's got a left foot and right foot. That means your big toe on your right feet going to be on your outside and the big toe on your left feet going to be on the inside. Man, you're a freak. You messed up. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Born with two right feet. Read on. In him was life. And what?
And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe.
See, now through John talking about this Jesus that's come into the world. That's enough on that. So life. Jesus is life. Why do you think he called water life, the water of life? Water builds cells in your body. It keeps you from dehydrating. It keeps you moist. It keeps you alive. You can drink all the pops and Coca-Colas you want. But when it comes down to really being alive, drink some water. Mm-hmm. Drink water. You can add all your Gatorades and all that there, but water is what's going to give you life. And that's what I'm saying. You can drink your food. You can drink water out of cabbages and radishes and all those different types of vegetables. Amen, praise God. And that's what will heal your body and keep you strong and keep you healthy. Mm-hmm. But see, a lot of things, they don't want to tell you that when you talk about ordering this stuff off TV and radio, you can do a lot of stuff right there in your kitchen. Go right there to your garden. Plant you, amen, some rosemary. Plant you some thyme. Plant you some basil. Plant you some wheat germ. You can plant all this stuff right there in your garden. They don't want you to know that. And people, but when else all them people had to get back in the day, all the government ever wants you to do is depend on them. Codependent. I'm telling you right now, God wants you to look to him. God don't want you working yourself half to death. Because after a while, what's going to take place, You're going to be trying to save your house, your land, your job, your car. You're going to be trying to save all of that stuff. And you're going to lose it. Because that's your life. And Jesus warned us in the 12th chapter of St. Luke. He said, beware of covetousness. Beware of it. Idolatry. And you will fall in idolatry when you try to work all them days. Because you're trying to save something. He said, beware of covetousness. For a man's life does not consist of the abundance of things which he possesses. And he gave them an illustration about a guy that had a barn and he was plenty rich and he wanted to tear the barn down and build a great, gigantic barn and put his stuff in so he can lay back and rest for the rest of his days and everything else. I heard one guy say, I got to preach me out some churches so they can take care of me when I get older. I said, what'd you just say? I said, man, you're crazy. Let me tell you how y'all make all these things here done. Let me tell you how you work it. You start off serving God, trusting God, putting God first. And that's how all you got to do is continue to live that way. Now, God took care of you all those years. Mm-hmm. Up until you and got into your senior years, your fall years. God going to take care of you to the day you leave this world. He did it with Moses. Mm-hmm. What was Moses' insurance policy at? Huh? Where was his amen 4K, 401K set up at? He didn't have it. Now, I'm not telling you it's wrong to have a 401K and have up amen when you retire. That's good. That's not wrong with that. You know? I can sit there and take my pension, amen, from the military when I was in the military. I don't want it. But that's my right to go and do that. And to all y'all, don't feel guilty, amen, praise God, because you don't work so long in the government and you get your checks and checks supposed to come in. That's yours. Remember that. You put up, it, you laid in store for that. And that's why Jesus said in the 6th chapter of St. John that lay not treasures up on this earth where things break in and moth do corrupt, but labor for the meat. Labor for the meat that has eternal life where thieves do not break in, don't do moth corrupt. See what I'm saying? And Paul said, amen, for 4:17 in the book of Philippians, amen, not that I desire a warrant from you, a gift from you, but I desire fruit that may abound to your what? Account. So that's why baking a preacher a cake, amen, get you a blessing. Look, God remembers that. Oh, my God. I'm going to be back with you just a little bit because I done got locked on here and I'm just going on about life and how life can, you can be blessed in life and how you can be prosperous in life and how you can, amen, continue on to enjoy, amen, praise God, the things of God. Amen. We're going to 6th chapter of Daniel. Amen. Praise God. Enjoy life. I say enjoy life. Enjoy. 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 And be blessed. Toll free product number 1-866-922-4434. The way to go to the get more.
Live with Dr. TJ Spray on Joy 98.9 on your FM dial. Sundays at 6:30 p.m., Monday through Thursday at 10:30 p.m. That's Spray Talk Live with Dr. TJ Spray. Sunday at 6:30 p.m. and Monday through Thursday at 10:30 p.m. God bless.
You're listening to Scrape Talk Live with Dr. TJ Scrape. You're promised a positive message for today's negative society. So stay tuned and witness God in action.
Behold, what manner of love is this our Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God? 1 John 3:1. Woo! Straight talk. And as I said, amen, the message, amen, for the month of June, amen, will be, amen, praise God, which is going to bless you. Amen, when to break the law. Now, I know, boy, you're going to love this one. You're going to enjoy it. Knowing when to break the law, was when do you break the law? And some people say, uh-oh, Dr. Strait's trying to teach rebellion, revolution. Okay, you know, you know you're lying. You know you're lying. You know you're lying. Because that's not what I'm getting ready to preach or to teach to you. Remember, the things I'm giving to you come from the Bible, which is the inspired word of God. The Bible says, amen, around about 3 and 16 of the book of Timothy, St. Timothy, amen, 3 and 16. The Bible says, all scriptures are given by the inspiration of God, is profitable for correction, reproof, instruction, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished to every good work. Okay? So that's enough for me. All scripture. I get my spirit of God. And in verse 15, 3 and 15 in the book of 2 Timothy says this. It says, amen, praise God, that thou have known the holy scriptures from a child or a youth, which able to make thee wise unto salvation. Wow. So that's better than reading Mother Goose books or Gone with the Wind or Alice in Wonderland or Moby Dick or Huckleberry Finn. You know, I love to read the Word of God. That's why I don't teach people reading these, oh, these love novels and stuff like this. And these preachers get on radio and never mind. In the book of Daniel, we left off yesterday in the sixth chapter of Daniel. Wasn't it sixth chapter of Daniel? In the sixth chapter of Daniel, and we have it, dear, read it.
It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because the excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm.
Now, look, excellent spirit, amen, it's like he was wise. Very wise. And notice that in the time of trouble, God had Joseph that God raised up to sustain his household. But now here's Daniel over there and in the area, and these people, just like right now in America, they're trying to get rid of the Christians. Mm. They are trying their best to get rid of the Christians, people. Mm. They already wiped them out just about over there in Baghdad, over in the area, and they're expelling them. See, you're not hearing about all this stuff. News media won't report it. But people are being killed. Women may go in Conobine over there in Colorado. Mm. He went and started shooting people in the head. He asked me, are you a Christian? Well, get ready to meet God then. And he shot him, killed him. Yeah. This guy over there in his last name Hood or something like that went over there to the Carolinas, Charleston, went over there and shot them people up there. Went in and shot the preacher too. Yeah. Now, see, folks, you're going to need God's protection this last day. You're going to need the insurance, blood cross and blood shield. And Daniel, amen, he didn't ask for his position, but his attributes, his ways, his persona, his, got him this position because he was good at whatever he did. He was good. Mm-hmm. He had what they call a Midas touch. Everything he touched prospered. Amen, somebody. And then it goes on, amen, and reading in verse 4. What?
Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him.
He's on work every day on time. He's doing everything. He's not stealing nothing. He don't just take off running when the king shows up. And if the king did show up, he would be making it look like he's doing something anyhow. He sought the, amen. He sought the favor of the king through his actions. And anybody that sit there and tell you, oh, you ain't nothing but a butt kisser. That's all you are. Well, let them say whatever they want to say. Let them go ahead and tell you that. But you want to be good at whatever you want. Look, I butter God up. I get up to God and start talking about how good he is, which he is. I get there, and God loves that. God loves to be praised of his people, the healer.
You've been listening to Scrape Talk Live with Dr. T.J. Scrape. Tune in again at the same time on this station. And remember, with Jesus Christ in your boat,
you cannot sink. Thank you, and God bless.